grace to you and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've managed to do any kind of shopping these days, you know that the music has taken a shift. It's all changed. It's all now geared up to call into reminiscence sugar plums dancing in your head as the scent of the confectioners becomes all that much more sweet. And there are visions everywhere of family and friends with beaming faces all around us. Behind all of that is the marketing of joy. Joy, as it is sold, can be all yours if you simply follow the wisdom of the advertisers, so they say. Just buy this, just buy that, and it'll make it all wonderful. For all the joy that we're promised, there are sadly many who are far removed from joy. These days there are those who mourn for the loss of loved ones. So many lost this year to this plague of pestilence. There are those who are anxious over strained finances for the same reason and maybe other reasons. There are relationships that are strained or taxed by bad behavior. Joy, in truth, sometimes can be very hard to come by. So where do you really find it? Maybe at Walmart. Here's a better place. Right here. This season brings joy as we anticipate Jesus' birth. But the thing is, it takes time to get there. We'd like to skip all of this. Thanksgiving's fun, and then let's just jump right to Christmas. We don't want to do all this Advent stuff. That takes too much time. But that's just how life works. The things that bring joy are things that are worth waiting for. The things that bring us joy often don't come easily. And above all things, they require patience. As we wait, distractions are constantly there trying to rob us of joy. They come trying to drag us into that void and pit of sorrow and despair. So just when joy should be flooding over us in this season, it seems sometimes to be fleeting or even fleeing. As elusive as joy can sometimes be, sorrow can way too easily just take hold way too quickly. But we still have a reason to be joyful. God provides you with daily bread, everything having to do with the support and needs of your body and your life. There are always plenty of reasons to live on joy, but so often we are too easily distracted from it. That's what happened to Herod when the wise men came. Now, Herod was not the picture of innocence, let me tell you. You read about his history, and I forget which Caesar, but Caesar said that it was better to be one of Herod's pigs than one of his sons, because Herod wouldn't kill the pigs because they were unclean. But his sons were picked off fairly regularly. Herod was distracted when the magi, the wise men, came to town looking for the one who had been born king of the Jews. Herod was disturbed, it says. When Herod gets disturbed, everybody's disturbed because people tend to die. So all of Jerusalem with him. He calls in the scribes to ascertain where this king was to be born, and the answer is found in the prophet Micah, that Old Testament reading that you heard just a few moments ago. The promise of the Lord, delivered by the prophets, is fulfilled in Jesus. What generations of the faithful longed to see, what so many spent their lives desiring and pining, is now here. Generations longed for this moment when Messiah would be born. This is the same longing Adam and Eve had. It goes back that far. Even further, apparently. Adam and Eve wanted to get back into Eden. They wanted Messiah to be born. and they waited. And so did the generations and generations that followed, past Noah, past Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, past the time in Egypt, past the time taking the promised land, and still they waited and waited. Greece conquered the world, and they waited. Greece fell, and Rome conquered the world, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited. But now he's here. And the world should be shouting for joy. That's the reason for this season. That's the reason for our joy. Herod should have been elated. Messiah has come. But he wasn't. You see, he was distracted by a lust for power and for delusions of grandeur. And you see, the problem is Herod's an illegitimate king. He's not even Jewish. Herod had actually done Rome a favor and bailed them out of a little problem they were in. And as a reward, they made him king of Judea. But he's not even Jewish. He sits on the throne only because Rome has put him there and he has Rome backing him up. Any claim to the throne is a serious threat to his very comfortable way of life. When he heard of the birth of the king, well, if you're Herod, what else do you think of? We have to kill him. If he'll take out his own sons, why not this kid? You see, when joy departs, something's going to fill the empty room. And sorrow and despair are what does it. Distractions are the devil's tool. He wants you to look away from the manger, look away from the cross. The devil's always going to want you to look in the mirror. He says, there's the real source of joy. It's within you. You have the power to bring it. So if you got to kill some kids, it's all good, right? But then when things don't go the way you planned, you really get distracted from the joy because you weren't looking at the real source of it in the first place. As you think over how things sometimes never go the way you want, your mind is plagued, and the devil just sits back and laughs. Do you see how it works? Your focus is turned away from Jesus. Then it's turned onto yourself, on what you don't have, rather than the wonders we have been given. We lose sight of the God-given gifts, and the joy flees away from us. Just like it did in Eden one afternoon when a piece of fruit was eaten. The devil's up to the same old tricks. He doesn't need new ones. The one he's got sadly works so well. Rather than rejoicing in all that God provides, we're distracted by other things. We want and we ponder what other people have instead of seeing the Lord's bounty in what we already have. And when joy departs, sorrow and despair make your heart its home. The longer sorrow stays, the more sinister it becomes. You see, sorrow's impatient. Joy requires patience as you wait for the realization of what you desire. Sorrow feeds off our impatience. The longer you go without having what you desire, the deeper your sorrow, your despair becomes. Sorrow tells you that joy does not come by waiting. Sorrow says, I want it now. Jesus answers our sorrow by being exactly who he is. Jesus will not be who Herod wants him to be, which is a rival who can be easily killed so power can be preserved. Jesus also will not be who we want him to be, a servant who gives us whatever we demand like a gumball machine. Jesus will always be exactly who Jesus is. Jesus will be who we need him to be, which is probably something far more than what we want him to be most of the time. Jesus is simply who Jesus is, Son of God and the Son of Man. Jesus is who he is when the Magi arrive. Matthew says that when they saw the child, they fell down and worshiped him. You got to hear that in the context of the time when it's written, children were essentially irrelevant. They had no value until you hit age 13 and were declared an adult. You had no value. You didn't even officially have a name. And here, these kings fall down and worship him. That's incredible. It's not the last time that would happen. 30 years later, outside the tomb, when the women see Jesus alive, what do? They fall down and worship him. What do the 11 do when they see him in Galilee? They fall down and worship him. That kind of humble worship is reserved for God alone. The Magi knew it. The women at the tomb knew it. The disciples knew it. They knew who was before them. God is present. Emmanuel, God among us. The women at the tomb, they were overjoyed to see Jesus alive. So were his disciples. Overjoyed. This is the kind of God we have, the source of true joy. That kind of joy is the kind of joy that chooses to humble. It worships a God who chooses to humble himself by being born, not in the great and mighty legendary Jerusalem, but an insignificant burg called Bethlehem. This is the God who is the emperor of the universe and chooses to die for us in the most horrible way. But in that, death defeats death and he rises so that we will receive exactly the joy we need, found in forgiveness and salvation through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, which is almost never what we think we need. Often not what we think we want we need, what we need, but it is what we really need, right? Our mighty King's greatness is found in the incredible humility he displayed. Matthew tells us that the Magi rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. That's a lot of joy. Matthew makes the point that no matter what comes, there's a reason for joy. And it's all because Jesus simply is exactly who Jesus is. He's the God who gives you not what you want all the time, but what you need all the time. He comes in the flesh. His dying and rising in the flesh is all so that you can be given forgiveness, so that you can be saved. Which is why Advent is always tied to Good Friday. Advent is always reminding us this child was born to die. But he does that to give us joy, so that we can know for a fact forgiveness is ours, so that salvation can be ours. Why would you worship a child? Because this child is the Lord, revealed to the Magi and to us. And he has come. He is the source of true joy and peace, and he sets us free from all sorrow. He is Christ the Lord. Amen.